Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. Somehow, once again, not talking about G.I. Joe. We're going to need an explanation for that because
what's
our five-part
G.I.
series is over. And it is Chan's fault, yes. No, this is Knowing Is Half the Podcast, and I am Ray Stacanus.
I am the one to blame.
I don't know what G.I. Joe is.
Honestly, that tracks. I've listened to this show before.
I keep hoping that if I shove enough stuff in between the G.I. Joe episodes, eventually both Gina and Ray will forget.
But all that does is prolong your exposure and experience, Chan.
That is true.
If we just rocketed through all the G.I. Joe, you might be free someday.
I don't plan well. I don't do the long term. I just think in terms of short term gains.
No, and I'll tell you what it is. And I'm going to tell you folks at home this right now. Robert Clark Chan is a Naismith. Robert Clark Chan is a what's the word I'm looking for here? What's that?
A Boo Earns.
Real Boo Earns. You know, all the words I'm thinking of are wrong and have the wrong meaning. But effectively, Robert Clark Chan often knows what the right thing to do is, and then will actively fight against it to be counter.
A counter.
There are real words. If I wasn't old with CTE, these words would be coming to me so fast right now. Yeah. But Robert Clark Smith.
Yeah, sure.
Oh,
why not?
Craig Smith. I mean,
Roger Clark Duncan, Michael Jai White.
Last time I was on Benadryl. This time Ray is on crack.
Let me tell you, I last week I went to the World Board Gaming Championships and had myself a great time. Played a whole bunch of new games I'd never played before, and some returning favorites. I am a big board game fan, and I don't get to indulge in that as much as I would like to. So, immersing myself in it, it's been like 5 days now since I've got back, and I'm still exhausted. I don't know what to do with myself. I am just
what
like
happens
a walking
when you're an
zombie
out of shape,
every day.
Old.
Yeah.
How would that one affect the other though? Because
being,
I'm always
out
of
shape,
old.
No, but now
I'm not usually
this
exhausted.
You're getting more out of shape and more old, and as time goes on, you'll be able to do less and less.
Oh, thank God. I'm so tired of doing things.
Well, then you should stop doing anything. You should just lay down and die.
Oh, I've thought about it. Oh, my God. Anyway, what we're watching, for some reason, we're watching the Neverending Story cartoon, episode 1 of season 1.
Did someone request this?
Maybe.
Ken does not remember if someone requested this.
It's been so long.
It seems like something someone requested.
I feel like this is a Patreon get, and if one of the patrons wants to step up and claim
wow
this.
We are really doing the fans an injustice here by not keeping track of what's going on.
I mean, there's all those room for notes in the calendar. We could have had notes on this.
Coulda woulda shoulda,
but definitely do not.
Nope.
So somehow this just showed up because we just completed, listen, okay, I got some exciting news. We just completed our 5-part, 6-episode romp, and honestly, this might be one of the best things Robert Clark Chan has put in front of us. I'll put it out there. What an absolute hoot this 5-part series was, ending in Battle Vision.
Oh, about okay.
Toy battle set. And I will have you know, and you, if you listen to that episode, if not, you should. I was actually chatting it up with Christy Marks, G.I. Joe writer and writer of Battle Vision, while we were recording that episode. And in the time between recording that episode and right now, Christy Marks and I have had a full conversation. She has sent me,
oh, that poor woman,
lots of documentation about her time on Battle Vision, including scripts, production notes. I've gone through some of it, but not all of it. And Christy Marks will be joining us in a few weeks in order to discuss. Hopefully I have 2 episodes that we'll be doing with her, talking about Battle Vision and talking about other shows that she's done. We love Christy Marks, and I'm very excited to get her back on the show and that she even would return my messages.
Yeah, I mean, Christy Marks, if you're listening, you have a couple weeks to block Ray and pretend he doesn't exist.
Yeah, by the time I send you the link, it's too late. Let's just keep it totally real. Also, suddenly, because I'm talking again into a mic, my cough has come back immediately. So I'm going to grab a cough drop. Gina, I'm going to need you to sing until I get back, if you would please.
Never ending story.
Never ending story. Beady boo, beady boo. Make believe I'm everywhere, painted in the clouds.
All right, and I'm back. Thank you very much, Gina.
Did you look up the lyrics to that?
No, I know all the lyrics. And there upon the rainbow is the answer to you. Do you not even, here's the thing, even if you didn't know the lyrics, do you not watch Stranger Things? Because there was a whole scene of the toothless kid singing it.
One scene out of 4 seasons worth.
So you don't watch it, is what you're saying.
What I love about Stranger Things.
4 seasons of maybe 8 episodes each. Yeah, that's not a real big time commitment, television. Sir.
No, what I love about Stranger Things is the way the timeline, because it takes place right in the 1980s. And this last season, according to the way things time out, somebody figured this out, that Metallica's Master of Puppets album would have dropped like a month before the events of the last season took place, which means that the one dude in the show apparently liked the song so much that he immediately went and learned it, despite no internet, just by listening to it.
Whoever took the time to figure that out, go fuck yourself.
No, I think it is 100% legitimate that is exactly what he would have done, because that's all you could do back then.
Yeah.
That's the only, you didn't have tabs. You had to figure it out yourself.
People were confused about the 80s. People were confused about the 90s. You know, we didn't have, you know, I mean, there was an internet in the 90s, sort of.
It's like, how did these people feed themselves? They didn't have microwaves back then.
They had microwaves back then.
Well, I'm just saying, like, in the 1910s, They didn't have microwaves, so they couldn't eat.
I mean, I think about that all the time. Like people in like the 1700s, people in the 1800s.
Also did not have microwaves, yes.
They didn't have shit to do either. Like, no wonder they were having 11 kids. Because
they had to survive. Going on. It was a constant battle for survival.
Oh, please. They had buckled shoes. They were fine.
And learning early thrash masterpieces on their $50 electric guitars.
Yes. Yeah. Like, I think about that. Like how little there would have been to do. You just did your job, whatever terrible job you had. Mm-hmm. And then you come home.
Honestly, and then you it just sounds, have terrible it children. It sounds delightful. I would get so much reading done. But instead, I'm here podcasting and we're 11 minutes in and still not talking about shit.
I mean, I think we're talking about some important topics, TV's Gene Ippolito.
No, you're getting cough drops because you got COVID and won't admit it.
What do you mean not admit it? I've openly admitted it. I delayed my trip because I got COVID.
And then you went and spread COVID to everybody at the...
I tested negative. It had been enough days. Stop it, you.
Sure.
I may have done that. I don't think I did that. But it's possible.
Never-ending pandemic.
Cough, cough, cough.
Thank you.
So this is Never-Ending Story. I did not know they made this into a cartoon. I'm assuming this is syndicated. I didn't do any research into it at all. Gina, what did you find out in all your research?
I hate you guys.
We know you're going to do it. So why double dip?
This ran for one season in 1995 for 26 episodes.
Wow.
It first aired on HBO. It's part of their...
That explains some of it. Doesn't explain the trash animation, but sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like, 1995 cheap animation, sometimes not great. But yeah, and then it also aired on shit in Canada, and then they kept running it for a few years. They kept rerunning the same crap, the same 26 episodes.
Sure.
I mean, here's the thing. 1995, according to this, 1995 gave us Pinky and the Brain, gave us Dr. Katz, Professional Therapist, at the Darkstalkers cartoon, which Chan put that on the list.
Oh my.
I am here for any cartoon based on a double A fighting game.
Well,
a triple A game, but double A universe. You know what I'm saying?
Wow. That's the Capcom universe, sir. Do not disparage it.
I just bought me a nice Marvel versus Capcom Hawaiian shirt off of a sponsored Facebook ad, and I'm very proud of it. It was delightful. Yes, the Street Fighter II cartoon came out as well. Freakazoid, the Dumb and Dumber cartoon that I did not know existed. Okay.
But this was like a weird, like, Canadian cartoon. It wasn't, you're talking like mainstream stuff. This was like some, like if you look at all the voice actors.
Right.
You don't recognize one on here. It was
not
done,
a single
it,
one
produced by a company called Cinevox Entertainment. So it's not like your name in famous cartoons. It aired for one season on HBO. In Canada, it also aired on Family Channel.
I know the Family Channel. All great. Right.
That sounds
a great channel.
I think maybe there's two different ones that we're thinking of.
No, there was just one Family Channel.
Well, this is a Canadian.
Yeah, it was a Canadian-based channel. But it was on my cable dial.
Interesting.
He lived up there where it's basically Canada.
I lived up where Basic Television got the Canadian Broadcasting Company on Channel 9. Yes, I did. I got Kids in the Hall that way, and I am not mad about it.
Ugh, some of us had to go over to our friend's house who had HBO to get that.
Weird.
So you went over there just to watch the Neverending Story cartoon?
Close.
Okay, I got the entire list of cartoons that debuted in 1995. We were not doing a very good job. Let me just put it out there.
Oh, God.
You know, you've got Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, The Adventures of
that. That's got to be.
Yeah.
This has got to be pretty good.
Also Canadian. You've got The Babaloos. Also Canadian. You've got, let's see here. Oh, I just saw it. I said The Adventures of Hyperman. Oh, boy.
I'm to keep this secret will unfold behind the clouds.
Oh, a little show called G.I. Joe Extreme debuted that year.
Is the answer to another-ending story.
I guess I'm going to have to reassess and say that this show isn't half bad considering the crap that came out with it that same year.
Look, Superman Batman Adventures for one season on the USA Network. That was probably pretty good, maybe. A lot of the stuff I've just never heard of before. What a cartoon, exclamation point.
You know, it's almost like we don't even have a podcast about little known cartoons or something.
I mean, honestly, what really kills me is at some points I feel like, all right, we've done it. Like, what could possibly be left? And then I just look at a list like this from one year and I see a dozen to two dozen shows we could do.
Maybe this is what we should be doing. We should be looking up, instead of Googling things like weird cartoons and bad cartoons, we should be looking up by year. Just
every cartoon that exists.
We should just like pick a year, like say 1983. I have a feeling that's a bad year, maybe.
Honestly, I think 1995 is a pretty terrible year. Here's one that I just found that I've never heard of. Link incoming. The Schnookums and Meet Funny cartoon show. M-E-A-T. It looks like Ren and Stimpy.
I recognize this.
But this is what I'm talking about. This is insane. Like, what is happening?
Well, we're talking about this. Guardians of the Magic? Let's talk about what we're talking about.
Okay, well, fine.
What are we talking about?
This is Never Ending Story Episode 1 called The Tears of Sadness. That is a heck of a title. That is a title that makes me pumped.
I mean, this is in keeping. I'm actually like glad that they had some depressing stuff in it because like the whole original and number two Neverending Story movies, I mean, they were dark. They had some, this isn't nearly as dark, but at least they were like, well, let's call it something like The Tears of Sadness so that everyone remembers when that horse died.
I don't remember anything about Neverending Story. There was like a rock guy and he rides this dog thing and he scares people in the street.
What is wrong with you?
Does Tom Bosley show up at some point? I see. I don't really remember much about this movie.
Maybe
and I saw this movie like a dozen times as a kid.
First of all, there are two movies because
ends, how is there a sequel?
Because it's the second one. It was an all new cast, even though they were supposed to be playing the same characters. But lot of the stuff in this cartoon is from the second movie. They do. I mean, it's all based on the book, The Neverending Story, the book.
There's a book.
Oh, my God. I can't do this anymore, you guys.
I knew we'd break her someday.
It's all based on a book. Movies one and two are based on a book. And then this is also based on a book. So it has a lot of overlap with movies one and two. And
you keep saying a book. Are you talking about the same book, right?
Yes.
Okay. The way you phrased it was weird, like weirdly nonspecific. Like if someone asked you like, wait a minute, which book are you talking about? Oh, Atlas Shrugged. Don't worry about it. Let's move on. Like, what? Wait, what?
You're not allowed to speak the name of the book. Or you raise the dead.
That explains
the second movie had Jonathan Brandis in it. And it was, it wasn't as good as the first one, but it also was pretty dark because, like, there's basically, this evil lady who we also see in this cartoon. And she's like, oh, you can make a wish and like get whatever you want. And so like any kid, he's like, yeah, hell yeah, I'll make a wish. But every time he makes a wish, it erases one of his like core memories. So he like starts to forget like good moments with his mom who's dead. It's pretty dark.
Well, and this one featured adorable trolls and leprechauns who were real sad that they were ugly.
I mean, listen, we're going to get to it, but I was just like, oh, like, honestly, I thought that those like ugly things, I thought that they were just going to like unmask themselves. And then Bastion was going to be like, hey, you're not that ugly. And then they would just stop crying. Instead, they went even weirder and turned them into clowns. And I was like, oh, so they were really ugly and sad about it. That's strange.
Did you see them? They were monstrous. We'll get there. Oh, my God.
I wanted them to unwrap. I have
nightmares about both versions of them, quite honestly.
I wanted to see them unwrap.
We open up, we're in a magical land, and we open on a waterfall, and my first thought as a video game player is, can you go behind it? The answer is no. At this point, an annoying guy in a cloak starts making all kinds of sounds. Chan, I know you've got this sound cue queued up for me. I didn't ask for it, but come on. You can't put this in a cartoon and not have me ask for it.
Well, you should have asked for it when it was appropriate.
It's appropriate right now. Because we're in the show.
No.
See, if you'd asked for it earlier, he could have queued it up and then...
The problem is I couldn't get it to download like I normally do. I don't know why, because it usually picks up Daily Motion, but I couldn't load it, so I have to like scrub through the actual like video and hope I hit it.
Sounds like someone should have paid the $2 on Amazon Prime.
Did you?
By the way, this is the weirdest. In looking up the Wikipedia page, it said like, "Hey, these are all available on Amazon Prime." So Chan looked them up. They're $2 an episode. I don't know who is spending $2 an episode for 26 episodes of this show, but I want to meet whoever that guy is. Although I have a feeling he does terrible things in his free time.
Yeah, like podcast. That is a vocal performance, quite frankly.
I mean, how would you sound if you were turning to stone from the inside?
Well, let me tell you, Gina, I don't remember the last time I got hard.
I can't do this anymore.
You shouldn't even have acknowledged that much, Gina.
I think I'm not turning to stone, but I am slowly dying from the inside.
Anyway, he turns to stone.
We skipped over the theme song, which is bullshit.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
No, not the skipping over the part. The theme song is bullshit.
It is curious that they didn't just use.
There's no way they were going to spend money for that song.
Listen, this was the 80s. This was the 90s. You're right. So the song was made in 1984.
Mm-hmm.
By Lamal, which was a play on his last name, Hamill. It was a rearrangement of, he used to be in Kajagoogoo. I watched a lot of I Love the 80s on MTV when I was in high school.
Okay.
But are you telling me that Lamal, aka Chris Hamill, mm-hmm. wouldn't have given the rights to this song for a cartoon in 1995? I don't know.
A Canadian produced cartoon would have offered him $15 bucks and a six pack of Labatt's Blue.
Listen, I don't know if that guy is still alive, but I bet he has regrets for not letting them use it.
Watching this cartoon, I kind of doubt it.
Also now I'm remembering how famous last season's Stranger Things song was, and how it basically made that woman a bajillion dollars because they used it. So I have a feeling that after the Toothless Kid sang it in Stranger Things, he got a lot of downloads. So never mind.
Running up that hill.
Yeah, exactly. It's a song about pegging. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, look into it, because she says, like, and if I only could, I'd make a deal with God and I'd get him to swap our places. And then she talks about how, like, I wish you could know it didn't hurt, blah, 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 blah. And then later on, she was like, yeah, it's about like how sometimes you're fucking your husband and like he's like, oh, no, am I hurting you? And you're like, well, like, I just, you know, stop asking me that. I wish you could switch places so that you could like tell that you're not hurting me when you're putting it in my butt. It's a great story.
It sounds a bit like an urban myth.
Google it.
Yeah, I just thought it was about, like, society and, you know.
Google it.
This feels like the story about how Phil Collins invited this dude and then turned the spotlight on him when he sang the Coming in the Air at Night. And turns out he had, like, murdered someone and then the police took him away. And he's like, I finally got my vengeance. I, Phil Collins.
Here you go.
You know what? To be fair, though, it's very similar. You know Mikey from Life Cereal.
Oh,
he
God.
Ate Pop Rocks, drank a Diet Coke, and he died.
Listen, I'm linking you to an article where Kate Bush literally says it is about a man and a woman switching places and switching genders.
Uh-huh. And that must mean then that pegging is involved.
I'm a little unclear on where the pegging
between the two people who have swapped their genders. First thing out the gate is like, you know what I really want to do? Bend over. I'm going to put in your butt. Okay. Now that I'm thinking about it, 100% that is what Gina would do if she traded places.
Now,
if
wait
she
a minute.
Made a deal with God, traded places with any boyfriend. Or even honestly, just some stranger on the street. You'd be like, hey, want to switch places? Sure. Excellent.
I'm telling you, Google running up that hill pegging.
I'm reading the article you just said. Uh-huh. It's saying if the man could be the woman and the woman the man, they could make a deal with God to change places, that they'd understand what it's like to be the other person, and perhaps it would clear up misunderstandings, you know. All the little problems, there would be no problem. Most notably absent from that explanation, pegging.
No. You see, if you scroll down a couple more paragraphs, it says right here, I, Kate Bush, would like to say that this song is actually about a man and a woman and not all about pegging. Stop it, Gina Ippolito.
Yeah, no reference to that in this article. In fact, my take on it, with it being about societal norms and whatnot, actually seems a lot closer. And it disturbs me that I would understand Kate Bush's running up that hill more than TV's Gina Ippolito.
Listen,
that is
some of us actually know some of us know the real meaning behind it,
and some of us are deeply obsessed with certain acts which are completely acceptable, so you might as well just come out and say it.
Yeah, I mean, I am, sure, but the point I'm trying to make here is that it's not probably related to this song.
Gina got real quiet.
No, I'm looking up. I'm looking up. I got a lot of tabs open right now.
Oh boy,
a lot of pop-ups coming up. Don't know why. For some reason, just oh boy,
guys, I got a blue screen. What's that mean? All right, so we cut to the kid. The main character kid who's living in like New York or whatever.
His name is fucking Bastion. Put some respect on it.
Fucking Bastion?
I think it's just Bastion.
We just call him FB for short.
His actual name is Bastion Balthazar Button.
Please. So. His name is Bastion Booger. And I will not hear anything otherwise.
I thought it was Bastion Balthazar Bucks, B-U-X.
Is it? I think so. I heard a character say it in the episode, and I may have misheard it. So
I think in the book it's Bucks, B-U-X.
I see. And this is based on a book.
So it's a book, it's a book about pegging. Oh my god.
His name is Bastion Balthazar Bucks, according to, well, that's an AI overview.
That's literally what I just said.
Well, the problem is that it's an AI overview, so it could have just heard what Gina said and then decided that was the answer. AI sucks for everything. But I'm going to believe. I'm going to believe. Wikipedia says it as well. I now believe it. Gerald McCraney was in The Neverending Story? Major Dad?
What did you Major Dad do?
Major Dad get COVID at WBC, I think.
Whoa, so. Dang.
Anyway, kids gotta go. He says Fantasia's in trouble. I'm like, are they even allowed to use that word? I feel like someone's about to get sued. But he has to save Fantasia.
To be fair, the scrawny dude keeps calling it Fantasia.
Yeah, that was weird.
Very specifically, that I was like, are we trying to dodge some copyright laws? Is that what's happening here?
Some Steamboat Willie up in here.
He shows up at the magical. Okay, never mind. We'll get to it.
No, because he breaks into like the fire station or something and then finds the book and just starts reading it to teleport himself to the magical land.
Oh, my God. I hate you guys.
Somebody needs to tell this kid how books work, because this is not how books work.
I'm not. Let's wrap this up because I can't deal with this for the next hour.
To the bookstore where the old dude, I forget his name.
Carl Coriander.
I see. That's hardly better, Gina.
Is that what AI told you?
My name is Carl Cilantro.
I've seen the movie probably 20 times. I've seen the second movie probably 10 times. Anyone who hasn't seen the movie has got to be some weird like Gen X fuck who thought they were too cool for it.
I saw the movie. I used to have the movie on
CD trying to save face disc. To seem young.
CED disc?
CED disc, for those who know. Mm-mm. The precursor to VCR tapes.
Whoa.
Yeah. Giant, large pizza-sized discs in, like, squares, and you slid it into the reader. It was like the record, but it was a video. And it would skip like a record, and it was not very good. In fact, it could only hold about, like, 50 minutes, and then you'd have to flip it over, take it out and flip it over like a record, to finish the movie.
You poor, poor child.
Yeah. But we had it, and I've seen The Neverending Story. Now, I haven't seen it in a very long time. I hear it's a magical movie that makes you do all the feels.
We've seen it in the past year or so.
Okay.
Showed it to our kid, and he enjoyed it. It does hold up. It does hold up real well.
Neverending Story you're talking about?
Yeah. Yeah.
Was he disturbed by any of it? The Gamork is still pretty scary.
No, I think frankly that excited him. somehow I have managed to raise a horror kid without realizing it.
I wonder how that happened, Chan.
I do not know. I feel like I contributed very little to that.
Maybe leaving him in a room that was only playing the Amazing Digital Circus for 19 straight hours had something to do with it.
And also taping his eyelids open.
To be fair, if it worked for Malcolm McDowell, surely it must work for
it is weird child. That Egon gets violently ill, though, anytime anything that's not a horror movie plays.
It is concerning, but like we'll burn that bridge when we get to it.
Yeah, I got a Winnie the Pooh movie he can see.
Oh my god.
Help yourself to an apple. Just one.
Just apropos of nothing, like the dude leaves a note on the door saying like I'm gone, enjoy, have an apple, just one. It seemed real weird, and it got even weirder when it did not play it into the story at all. It wasn't like a thing where like, oh, you have to learn not to take two apples when someone says one, or the apple didn't turn out to be the solution to anything. He's just like a chintzy old bastard who's like,
it does seem very Alice in Wonderland-y. Like, he had to eat the apple to complete a quest or something.
Or possibly F. Gary Gary from Secretary. I don't know which, but it still feels
nice.
Any way you slice it, not great.
Look, not all world building has to be, A+. You know, like, they're world building a world where he doesn't want him to eat more than one apple.
I mean, maybe he improvised this line in the booth. Like, maybe he was like, they were like, do a little bit of business up top as you write this note. And he was like, and he like did some, and they were like, just use the best one. I think it's the one where he said something about an apple. All the other ones were.
Famously, that's how cheap animation works. Just improvise in the booth. We'll draw around you. It'll be fine. Don't worry.
This teleports him to the magical land. And Chan, I know you got a hot take on this. I just wanted to say really quick, I really didn't like that they only referred to the leader as the childlike empress.
What the fuck is wrong with you? Movie, everyone.
She has a name.
Sorry, or Gina. Should. I am on the side of Ray on this one because
thank you.
And watching the movie, it didn't really bother me. I was like, okay, this is part of like this sort of fantasy realm, fairy tale kind of setting. But this version, which is very much devoid of any of the mysticism or wonder of the movie, you can't cut that kind of slack. And when someone's like, hey, childlike empress, you got a nice face. I like looking at it. It's such a weird adjective.
Made me uncomfortable.
To apply and, you know, call it the title of a person. I don't care for it at all.
First of all, the reason that they do this is because you never find out in the movie what he actually calls her. And And in the book, so you're just saying like here it was like he should have just been like, hey, Patty, so that every movie goer would be like, that's what he yelled. He yelled Patty.
He should have been also the name is like, isn't like Moonstorm or something like that?
It's like Moon Dancer or but she goes by several names in the book. Right.
You could just call her the fucking Empress. How about that? It's like
because she's like, she's supposed to be like ancient, but she's childlike. It's a whole vibe, man.
Okay, blues singers do that. Hey, Blind Lemon Jones. Like, it's a real dick move in any other circumstance. Because, like, hey, maybe let's not, bring up their physical faults right off the bat.
That's what she wants to be called because she's ancient. Really, she wants that reminder that she's a childlike empress. She's not a child.
Look, I'm tight everywhere, just like a child. She's like a little baby girl.
I think of a Tiny Lister, and I think how he's actually a very large man.
Yeah, see, that makes sense. If she were like 8,000 years old, looked 8,000 years old, and called herself the childlike empress, I'd be like, that's a baller move. When she's like a weird little girl who happens to be 8,000 years old, no, you don't call yourself. We know. We see it. It's unsettling.
Okay, I just looked her up, and the first thing it says is what she's called in German, which is Die Kindliche Kaiserin. Is that better?
That's way better.
What does that mean?
It means the childlike empress.
It sounds better in the original German, much like most of Donald Trump's speeches.
Mission. Sigma 6 is there. Sigma 6! Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, She feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health. Their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Bad scientist!
I've done it! It's dissect an alien! And it's
gross!
You take his insides out and put them back in.
Too gross.
Yuck!
That's disgusting.
He's a real slime bucket!
Yuck!
Dog.
Whenever there's a mission, Sigma 6 is there.
Sigma 6!
So,
also, this is interesting. Her lifetime is not measured in years, but names. Which only the imagination of a human child can give her. Mm-hmm. And so she eventually begins to need a new name. And if you don't say her name, she will fade away.
This is like Coco.
So why didn't everybody just give her a goddamn name?
Because she needs a new name as she doesn't age in years. She ages in names. That's a cool fucking detail from a good writer.
I'm gonna tell you right now, Patty is high maintenance. look, she says something must be done. We're turning to stone. And then another character whose name is Large Head.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Large Head. He's just a guy.
Yeah.
What are we doing here?
I mean, you were literally just saying how people should be named by what they look like. So
No, we are saying the opposite of that.
You specifically said you love when people look exactly like what they're named.
Look, I only agree with that in one case, and that is William the Refrigerator Perry. And I will stand forever by that.
That is acceptable.
And he was also a G.I. Joe, just for the record. Thank you. I remember when he fought Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, I think, in a boxing match. In a celebrity boxing, which I watched on TV in the 90s. Might have actually been 95, now that I think about it.
No!
And I think about that fight a lot.
It's a real low point for the human species.
No!
I assumed. It turns out she was saying no to the cat, which may be a first. Or possibly Gina has completely lost interest in podcasting.
Of the above can be true, Chan.
You know what? I'm going to go to the living room. I've had enough of this.
So, guys, I'm going to finish this one by myself. It says, Bastion shows up. And he's like, what can I do? They're like, you have to find out what's going on. He's like, how would I even begin to find this out? And they're like, I don't know, just do it.
This motherfucker, this is the dude who calls it Fantasia.
Large Head.
He's just a child. What can he do?
What? He already saved your planet at least once.
Yeah.
I feel like, based on what the Empress... I'm going to call her the Empress.
No, that's not what she wants to be called, Chan. That is not what she wants to be called.
Is that what she wants to be called? Or is that what dumb kids who show up in this place think she ought to be called?
It's how she introduces herself, Chan.
I'm only calling her Patty, just for the record.
Later, she says, like, you know, like, you saved this world before. And it kind of intimates that, like, he may have been back multiple times, because it seems like every episode he's going to save the world again. So, like, Lord knows how many times he's already done it. And this jackass is like, but he's just a child.
Yeah, that is very stupid, especially because in the first one, he like fucking fights the Gamork. He banishes the nothing.
Yeah.
And in the second one is when he like he basically, you know, like fights that fucking witch. Zangief.
Zangief on paper.
The spinning pile driver.
I agree with Largehead. What honestly, given the what's happening, how would this child be useful? However, let me also say that given his past cred, I'd like to say he's built up at least a little bit of equity that maybe just see what happens. You know,
I mean, they called out to him in the real world to bring him here.
Yeah. They just brought him here to insult him. They literally called him across dimensions so he could show up and they'd be like, yeah, you won't be helpful, asshole. Just wanted you to know it.
Although at this point, it's so over the top and strange that then it begins to feel like some sort of weird video game izakaya thing where he's, or I guess more of a Westworld thing. We're like, he's going to show up to save the day because that's what everybody's programmed to let the story tell out for him.
Yeah, it really doesn't belong. I get real Mary Sue vibes off of Bastion, regrettably. Yeah. They also say this thing's called the Orin, and if it loses its light, that's it. And I'm looking at it, doesn't look dim to me. I don't understand. It looked fine. So maybe we're okay. I don't know. Also, what really upset me is that he's paired with a tree guy, the guy who's a tree, and they refer to him as a bark troll. This guy's a treant. He's a goddamn treant. He's not a troll.
No, his name is Bark Troll.
That is even more upsetting.
That is worse.
There are other people referred to as trolls as well.
And no, it's not. It's all one word. Bark Troll.
Again, that's supposed to be better.
Saying it like his name is Bark the Troll, but it's like saying Spider-Man is it's like if someone's last name is Spider-Man and then you call him Spider-Man, he's a man spider, but this is just Bark Troll.
But Spider-Man's at least hyphenated.
Wayne Spiderman. But are there other bark trolls?
No, his name, it's not a thing. Well, it's a name. You guys don't understand names.
What is he? Are there others like him?
He's a tree. He's a tree.
He is a bark troll. Tree?
Are there any other trees that he can speak with and or mate with? Or is he one of one?
Okay, wait. I actually, in doing a Google of this, I just discovered there's a Neverending Story 3, a movie that I have not seen. I did not know there was a third one. And in that movie is a character named Bark Space Troll.
Thank you.
Wow. Gina's talking out her ass.
But in the animated series.
I feel like I'm batting a thousand this episode.
In the animated series.
Chan's agreeing with me. Sorry, Gina, go ahead.
Also the poster for the Neverending Story 3 is horrendous.
Oh, boy. All right,
I suspect they spent less on that movie than they did on the
God. Scroll down to who is in it.
All right, hold on, I got to find it. You could buy the poster, Gina, on Walmart.com.
Oh, my God.
On Walmart.com?
Walmart.com, Escape from Fantasia, movie poster. I'm buying it,
you
Gina. Too, you're getting
you too fancy. You too fancy for Walmart.com, Chan. I just linked it. Just go down to the actors.
This is horrifying.
There are at least two actors who are very famous.
Oh, boy. This is... I'm just looking at images and... Ooh, even the luck dragon just really got hammered in this one.
Yeah, why? I mean, the first one clearly had a budget that went further, but why change the design at that point? I mean, obviously the answer is they can't. Come on. They couldn't recreate it.
Oh my God. No, I don't want any of this movie. I want this soundtrack with songs by Roxette, Meatloaf,
Hell yeah.
Seal, Aaliyah.
Okay, I have Prince to watch it.
Chitel Joe and Marky Mark.
That slaps. Oh, not gonna lie.
The live action Bark Troll looks like Bark Troll, but also look at how young a young Jack Black looks in it. He also
Jack
has
Black. Not, this is around the time he made The Jackal. Which also, is one of my favorite roles he's ever made.
He has a unibrow for some reason, like, and it's like real. I guess they were like, oh, he's a bad guy, so we need to give him a unibrow. It's very intriguing.
They got a rabbit character right there on the poster who looks like he's straight out of Meet the Feebles. Like he's about to just vomit over everyone with his gonorrhea.
I mean, this is I have to upsetting. Watch this. I have to watch this immediately. Also, Kevin McNulty is in it. Very famous Kevin McNulty.
Yes, oh very, very famous.
Yeah, I was wondering who the second famous person was going to be, Gina. I'm not going to lie.
I mean, here's the thing. Just in the past 3 years, he's done Schmigadoon and Yellow Jackets. So, I don't know.
I will not continue my disrespect. Those are fantastic.
Yeah, I was going to say. I mean, listen.
Man in the High Castle.
Damn, this there dude is go. Killing it. And I made it a few episodes wow. into that.
And Fantastic Four and Snakes on a Plane. So he's really got
Snakes on a Plane. Now you've won red. Me. The thing I got to say here is that this cartoon came out in 95 and Neverending Story 3 came out in 94. So really, this is based on the third movie.
Well, no, I mean, the characters in it are like, I recognized a lot of them from 1 and 2. I wish I had seen 3 though now.
I mean, let's face it, you got time tonight after we're done.
I don't because you fucks never shut up and I go to bed at 10 p.m. So
that's so early.
That's
why I don't get tired by just going to a gaming convention, Ray. Because I'm actually healthy.
It's true.
Would you like me to purchase you Neverending Story 3 on Blu-ray, DVD? Oh or VHS God. Tape.
You better tie in this movie poster because Gina needs a 27x40 of this upsetting looking poster.
Oh my God. Oh my God. What if I just put it above my bed so that every dude that came over that I boned looked up and then saw that movie poster?
And they see the kid holding the book open?
Oh, Jason. Honestly,
and a unibrowed Jack Black.
Honestly, if that poster was right there, Gina, the guy would be thinking to himself as he's staring at the poster, he'd be thinking to himself, why did I agree to this pegging? Baby, I want to do some pegging while you stare at this poster for Neverending Story 3. And I'll be honest, somebody's listening right now going, I don't know, I'm gonna
have a lot of the exact same DMs that I've been getting for years after this episode airs. Yeah. Let's be real.
Yeah. After this, nothing will change. Oh, no. I'm so sorry, Gina. I know. I don't know, but, you know, I know.
And if I could, I'd switch places with Ray so he could get some DMs about pegging.
There's a guy in the cast named Hrothgar. I just thought I'd mention that.
That's a great name.
I have not seen that outside of Beowulf in my entire life. So there's a first for me. Mm-hmm. Go me.
I love it. Okay. So look, we got Falcor. He's a luck dragon. We got the Bark Troll. I'm from Michigan. I put the in front of everything. We got the Bark Troll. And here's my other question. This is vital to the survival of all the people of the world. Why are these the only one person volunteering to help?
That's all you need, man. Too many cooks. You don't want too many cooks on a quest.
We have a child, and we have a treeman, and there are 90 more of us. That's probably fine. It's only our survival at stake.
Dude, would you, if you were starting a quest, you would want 90 stupid fucks? If I was starting a quest right now, you better believe I wouldn't invite you to.
Well, I'm honestly a little hurt by that. But I understand.
Again, a again, you get tired going to a gaming convention, Ray. You're dead weight.
Yeah. Do you know where I don't get tired, Gina? The bar. And I think that there are clues to be found under that bottle.
Well, we'll see.
I believe I made my case. Actually, I'm just trying to apply for your next pub crawl, to be honest with you. To be honest about it. Okay.
You know, wait, I do think that, I mean, you guys can't come to this because you have kids and shit like that, but I think that this might be the first year that I do an Oktoberfest in LA.
It's like my favorite thing in the world to
personally
do.
Are going to
no,
hold
no,
an Oktober
like,
festival?
Like, they used to do one at Alpine Village, which apparently was great. Sausages, beer, like singing, women dressed as wenches. It just sounds delightful. They stopped doing it, but I've been researching other places that are doing, like LA Beer Fest, for example, is having an Oktoberfest, and they have a bunch of different sausage trucks and a bunch of different beers and beer tents. But I'm researching different Oktoberfests, and I'm going to get a group together, and I'm going to get dressed up like a wench. I don't care. I want to get dressed up like a bosomy wench and drink beer and eat sausages.
All right. Then.
I mean, Oktoberfest are my favorite things in the world. I've been to the Alpine Village back when it was a thing in the aughts. It was delightful.
Hell yeah.
It's great. I'm a fan. Okay. Let's go ahead. They figure out through their deduction, we don't have a lot of time, so they figured out pretty quickly that the water is turning people to stone. To my next question, so just everyone who isn't stone just hasn't drank any water?
No, you
this
find out
take
later.
Very long.
You find out later specifically that they have to look deep into the water.
I thought drinking it still was probably good enough, right? No?
I feel
and also
like-
who stares at their water?
That well, I mean, yeah, I do.
If there's crumbs in there, I don't want to know.
No, it's like if they because later on when they meet the little mummy eye things, they're like, if you look into it, you see too much sadness for one soul to hold. So you have to look into it. It's not just. But usually, when you're drinking, you look at your water. So, but I'm sure that there's. Oh, God. I can't do this anymore.
I can't.
You
look, I'm
close your
girl.
Eyes.
Said, why would you turn to stone? Why wouldn't you just do like The Happening and could just jump off a building or let a lawnmower run over you or something?
I assume they turn to stone to protect themselves, to be honest, if we're getting real deep into it. I assume that their soul.
Traumatic.
Yeah, like I assume that their soul can't handle that much sadness. So their body is just like, nope, protection.
I mean, look, that's what happened to all three of our hearts.
That's true.
I've never met three colder people in one place. We're full of love. What are we talking about?
Can I just say, as because there's a lot of downtime doing this podcast, a lot of disassociating when things are just getting too nonsensical. And I was looking at the cast list for Never Ending Story 3,
fantastic.
And Anguwook, of course, appears because, you know, Anguwook is like one of the big deal characters from the first movie, shows up in this episode, too. Like, also, they're cramming a lot of recurring characters into this first one. I presumably just like, hey, remember this movie you loved? Here's all your favorite bits. And Anguwook in Neverending Story 3 is played by Tony Robinson, a fairly common name, but that always leaps out to me on IMDb because it's almost always the guy who played Baldrick in Blackadder. So now I'm on board.
Fantastic.
I too want to watch Neverending Story 3.
And what was his name? Because I got Eggy Woken Urkel.
Oh my God.
That's what I wrote down.
The first time I wrote, I think I wrote, Eggy Wook and Urkel. I also wrote Urkel. It's Anguwook and Urgl, URGL.
Didn't get that out of it. And he's a gnome. He's a gnome. And there, so I already hate this guy because they go in to visit him and he calls his lovely, adoring wife, woman, as he's yelling at her. And I'm like,
but this is straight out of the movie, man. And because they're both little, like, they just both yell at each other a lot. And it's a great bit from the movie.
It's definitely a bit from the movie.
I love it.
Didn't like it. Maybe not like him immediately. Also, he's doing a thing where, like, my science is real, unlike your magic. But that angle doesn't work in a world where magic is also real. Like, I could sit here right now and talk about the benefits of, like, a therapeutic massage over, like, nonsense chiropractic, you know, chiropractic.
No, no, the opposite of a massage is crystals, is healing crystals.
Same deal, healing crystals, great. But if healing crystals actually were tangibly proven to do something, like, there was no doubting it, then I couldn't sit here and be like, you're stupid fucking crystals. Because crystals work too. She's over there doing legitimate alchemy.
This is another one of those things that I think plays better in the film because just tonally, you're sort of having fun with it. Like even this whole Lockhorns thing, where just like, you stupid bitch, fuck you, you asshole. in the movie, it's light and fun. In the cartoon, it's just kind of like, oh gosh, they should really see a counselor about this.
Yeah, he should have backhanded her. You're right.
I was not the one who said that. Fortunately, my voice is only confused for Ray's, which normally is a bad thing. In the case of this episode, Gina's the one dropping all the canceling statements.
Which is why when I get blamed for it, it's going to be even more perplexing.
Yeah, yeah, true enough. Yeah.
So they eat a beetle bun cookie and they shrink to the size of a gnome because they're actually very small. They say, let's go to the Fountain of Life, which is just right over here. Let's see what's up. It turns out that the water is getting contaminated by drilling holes in the side of a mountain to let some other liquid in there, which is contaminating it. And we come back to find out that the lady gnome has turned to stone. She didn't even drink it, according to their sleuthing. She just looked at it, to what Gina said. She's really into looking at her water.
She was studying it for science.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, that actually tracks. All right, fine.
Also, so, I keep my eyes open when I'm drinking a glass of water.
Yeah, what are you, like, one of those girls in a movie that's showering, like, just, like, total eyes closed as spiders drop on her?
Are you kidding me? I don't open my eyes during a shower. I might see something. Nobody needs that. That's why I grew this gut.
That's fair.
So the treant fellow, rock troll, bark troll, brewed a potion, just did it while he was there in their home, took her shit, doesn't know how to brew potions, near as I can tell, he just did it. Got that alchemy level of Skyrim of like 2.
I will say that this is, you know, targeted at 6-year-olds who absolutely, like, if they see 2 liquids, they'll be like, I'm going to pour that liquid into that liquid and see what happens. It's a very basic child impulse, so it makes sense that would do that. Having it tie into the resolution of the story, not great.
This is insane. So then we find a lady with no face, but she has a face, and she did it on purpose. I don't know what that means. I don't remember this part.
She's the bad guy.
Oh, the bad guy. Okay, she was actually lovely. She intentionally had no... I don't know. That was weird. She just had no face.
You need to watch the movies!
I mean, I don't, you know, I think this should stand on its own. I shouldn't have to see 19 movies to understand what's happening in Black Widow. You know, I'm just saying it should stand on its own. Like Black Widow. Great movie. So I had another question, because they go to the mountain on the back of their flying enchanted luck dragon, who then drops them off at the bottom of the mountain and says, climb it up, kids.
Peace out.
I admit I was confused about why the luck dragon didn't just fly them.
This is what I'm asking. I guess he's a piece of shit who thought it was funny.
There's got to be some cut line in there about how he's like, oh, too bad I can't fly over it because it has an anti-flying zone. No drones in this area.
No fly zone. Okay. So we're dropping into Iran.
Saddam going to shoot me down, kids. What are we talking about? Yeah, it's so outrageous. It's like that one comic where Superman and Batman are like trying to reach somebody on a boat who's about to go off a waterfall, and it's like, Superman, what are you doing, dude? Just go save the kid.
He didn't want to make it too easy on himself.
Just outrageous. That upset me.
This feeds into my Westworld theory, in that like you can't make it too easy. Like you can't set your Cyberpunk 2077 on, you know, easy mode
I can't
be satisfied with the experience. You got to set it at least to normal.
No, when it crashes on me, and it does, I would have an easy ride of getting back to where I lost. They get chased into a cave where they meet a race called, Gina mentioned them earlier, the Acuras. And they're like hiding under the water, and they're like, we're repulsive. Don't look at us. And then they come out, and I'm like, oh shit, they are. They're fucking horrible looking.
Weird little worm mummies.
They're like, they're like worms with goddamn tentacles all over their bodies. I'm fucking out.
I think they're cute. They have like, that
disgusting.
They have like little worm bodies, but they're wrapped up like mummies, and then they have tentacles, and then they have glowing eyes. I want to see what's under these mummy wraps. Like,
I would call the Orkin man to exterminate them. No, like, truly, as a species.
Truly, was I the only one that was like, because they literally say we can't even look at each other. Like, we can't even look at one another because we're so hideous. And so they spend all their time crying, which you would think after spending a year being ugly, you would be like, you know what? Let's just go watch TV. I'm tired of crying about being ugly. Let's just be okay with never dating. But instead, they cry for all of eternity because they're ugly. I thought at some point, because like the box troll is like, the tree troll is basically like, oh God, they're so ugly. And Bastion's like, shh. And earlier they made a really big point about how Bastion is not rude. Like he has a, like when the gnome woman is like, oh, try my like bug croissants or whatever the fuck she gives him. You hear him say, don't be rude, try one. And then they both eat one. And he's a human eating bugs. So he's big on politeness. So I thought for sure at this point, he was going to say to them, you surely can't be that ugly. And then one of them was going to unwrap themselves, be super ugly. But Bastion was going to lie and be like, you look great. Have you lost weight? And then they were going to stop crying and be like, oh, this human thinks we look great. And then he would be like, yeah, I'll just do a little Photoshop. I'll just do a little Photoshop on your dating profile pic. You know, when you show up, just don't admit that you lied about being 6'1". I thought that Bastion was going to solve their problem. Instead, they're just like genuinely ugly. And the cure is not being ugly anymore. Not getting self-esteem, but physically changing everything about them.
Well,
the life lesson's incredible.
This is my fucking issue. Like, there is, I get how you'd be like, oh, we don't want to like give lessons, you know, like they did in the 80s with PSAs and blah, blah, blah. We want to tell a story. Great. Well, then tell a good fucking story and have there be some resolution where their problem is solved by something other than drugs. like you're saying, yeah, it should have been. I was expecting them to be unwrapped. And it turns out possibly that they're beautiful and that someone had told them that they were ugly, or like put them in bandages and they had forgotten it had been so long since they'd seen themselves, blah, blah, blah.
I like that.
But instead, yeah, they reveal that they actually are ugly and therefore should have been sad or something.
The show posits a world where them crying for eternity was the legitimate course of action.
Yeah.
It's outrageous. Also, like, you could argue, first of all, the things that they're changed into are these hideous, like, clown creatures.
More upsetting.
Is it going to wear off at some point? And also, it also makes them happy. So basically, it's like plastic surgery and antidepressants is the lesson here. Because they're just like, ha, 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 he, he. Like, they're totally different creatures now. They are not, they don't have their same brains, I assume. So basically, we exterminated this race of tentacle worms.
Good.
And good. Now and just real quick, though, floating clowns.
Did they actually change into these creatures, or were they like that underneath the bandages and then
no,
when they took them off?
I think it's clear that they changed into them, which is even weirder.
An actual shot of the creatures without their bandages, right?
The tentacles are gone.
Yeah, the tentacles are gone. Okay. They're just sort of like floating, like they all are a different type of floating, bubbly clown thing.
Yeah, okay.
Terrifying. Look, the idea that they're so ugly that they had to do drugs until they turned into the insane clown posse and now they're cool and happy is honestly a messaging I can get behind. Now that you're putting it like that. Now look, they also get encounter these spinny blade monsters, which are kind of cool. But what I love about this is the spinny blade monsters burrow up from the ground and then they're just there like, now you have to deal with me. And Bastion's answer, after running away from them for a while, he turns around and kicks a boulder at them. A boulder at this race of creatures that burrow through the earth.
So these things were from the second movie. They actually are from the second movie. The reason the first movie is so good is because the bad things, first of all, like the main bad thing is just called the Nothing. And it's about how it's about like, oh, this is going to be the end of everything as you know it. If this thing takes over, there will just be a black void in its place, which is terrifying. And then it's sort of henchman is a Gamork, which is like a wolf with a wolf slash bear slash creature with huge, huge jaws. And it also it's a man bear pig, but it also like talks to you. Like it makes you feel bad about yourself. Like it's like, are you sure this is what you want? And in the second one, it's this like witch lady that's in this thing and robots, like metal robots that like try and slash you. And it's a real downgrade from like, hey, wouldn't it be terrifying if everything you knew got swallowed up by darkness and you never saw it again and it just doesn't exist? And also there's a man bear pig with ferocious like jaws that like makes you doubt yourself. And then in the second one, they're like, what about robots?
You know what? Yeah. I'm here for it. I did like Zaeda shows up and Bastion tries this,
Zendaya
tries to psych her out and he's
no,
just like,
Zendaya
hey,
is Michi,
we,
yes, yeah, I'm calling back pop culture mentions from,
and I bet Ray doesn't get it. So good for you for calling it back, even though it's 7 years old. Ray doesn't get it at all.
You guys, I'm just full of euphoria right now. I got nothing more to add.
That was a noble IMDb effort, I guess.
I did not have to IMDb. I am aware of this great performer's Spider-Man movies.
I am aware of all the times a female actor showed her boobs.
Wait, did she get naked in Euphoria?
No, she's one of the only ones that doesn't show her boobs
on
that show.
She didn't. Okay.
What about that tennis movie? Did she show her boobs in that? I feel like.
That's a good question.
I think, my understanding, I haven't seen the tennis movie, but they imply the threesome and don't show it.
I think you get to see a man dick, which I love anytime you see man parts and not lady parts.
Yeah.
I mean, that's very progressive. Yeah. Now, you know what? Movie night for all the patrons. We're watching the Zendaya tennis threesome.
It's called
movie.
Challengers.
No, it's not how anyone knows it.
The only thing I ever saw the marketing was that brief clip that was the entirety of the commercial of Zendaya in between two dudes about to get railed. That's it.
Yeah.
Look, the trains were running on time. That's all I'm trying to say.
Did not even know it was a tennis movie until I saw a poster weeks later.
Yeah. But my understanding is they don't really get into it in the movie, which is like literally what every piece of the advertising is leaning into.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to think back. Imagine when Wild Things came out, the only representative movie I could have, where they get to that moment, and then like Matt Dillon's like, yeah, man, we're going to do this. Cut to the courtroom.
I mean, I'm like, sure that there are USA versions of it that is indeed what happens.
100%, you know, 100% correct. Listen, so they try to do the fake out where they're just like, hey, my homie here brewed this potion. He's about to throw it at your ass and it's going to blow you out if you don't let us go right now. And Zendaya, who it's the only way I'll refer to her now, thinks about it, and she's like, shit, dude, we do not know what this potion does. But no. There's just no shot. This treeman made a potion that's going to blow me out, and I can't dodge it. So that she's just like, F it, kill him anyway, I don't care. And I was so happy when that happened. I really thought, I hate dumb villains who are supposed to be smart. Right?
Yeah, I got you. Mm-hmm.
If you're supposed to be smart and knowledgeable about the world and you don't take any crap, if a kid pulls off this shot against you, you immediately are worthless. So I'm glad she pushed back a little bit. They end up throwing the potion anyway. It lands in the tears and you hear all the Acheris screaming. And it's apparently the antidote. They destroy the Acheris, but then, in a twist, they start laughing from the screaming, and they all turn, I'm not kidding, they turn into they turn into clowns, as we said before. They turn into a pile of dopey-ass clowns. Mal-shaped clowns.
And, again, there's a story here where, Bastion convinces these poor creatures that the power of joy and laughter can make their lives better, and they're like, "Nah, I don't buy that." It's like, just try it. Oh my goodness, why look at that. And then they are transformed from these horrible hideous creatures into beings of joy, of fairies that give laughter, and they can look as silly as they want. You know, these clowns still look kind of nuts, but now, because they are avatars of happiness, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a good and laudable thing to teach a child, or even a good story that can be told. Instead, the lesson here, because it's not that they throw it in the water. Bark Troll tries to throw it at the witch and stumbles and just drops it into the pool. So the lesson here is that if you fuck around with other people's potions and accidentally drop things at random places, you will succeed. That's the story that we just told.
Now that you put it that way, I'm kind of in favor of it.
Oh, God. The part that doesn't get mentioned is these goddamn hobo clowns that they get turned into are just as hideous as the deformed crawfish they were before.
At least the crawfish, like honestly, the lesson should have been, Bastion could have been like, hey man, come with me back to the real world and I'll put you on my lawn as Halloween decorations. It'll be dope.
Oh boy.
See, Gina, the lesson really I would want to take from this, because I want to get away from Gina's Halloween plans as soon as possible, is guys, you don't look great. You got goddamn tentacles. You're mummified, but there's a whole community of each other that can support each other and that you all look the same. and you can help support each other through these times and don't be so upset, and you could build a community. And like, so there is a million good lessons we could have had here.
Yep.
Instead, yep. The literal lesson of this episode is don't be fucking ugly.
Also, yep. Also, there is the creatures introduced in this town are a guy with an abnormally large head, a living.
Who's called Large Head.
Head. Yeah.
A living talking tree. There's also like a hideous troll couple who just argue. You're telling me that in this town, mummified worms wouldn't be welcome?
Yeah. Honestly, they are hideous though. Like I would try to exterminate them as a species.
Ray's just back here like pouring salt on them as they're crying their 100%. Tears.
But what if they're delicious? Now I got to think about it.
No, they're poplars. That's what you turn them into.
Poplars, yeah. But I also don't eat. I don't eat tentacles, so this wouldn't work out. Nope, I'm out. Like all we had to do is completely change the essence of your being to improve you.
I think now I have a new message. I think these mummified worms with tentacles. I think that what Bastion should have done in this children's cartoon from the 90s. Mm-hmm. Is he should have gotten a porn casting director into that cave and said, hey, you know, there's a very large market for tentacle porn. Weird worm creatures. How would you like to be signed to our tentacle porn division? And then I think they would stop crying and they would be like, what's crafty like? And he would be like, oh, it's fucking great. You got like cottage cheese cups and apple slices, but you also got flaming hot Doritos. So, you know, it's a mix, and the worm creatures are like, I like this. I usually have to go to 7-Eleven in a shroud if I want flaming hot Cheetos. And this director is like, yeah, I mean, listen, you shoot two movies a week, sticking your tentacles inside ladies, and then you got downtime. And then they're like, we are no longer sad.
This is a beautiful story. And, I can't believe that Gina doesn't get hired for even more work in Hollywood. I think maybe occasionally the story, which to be fair, she pedals around every time she gets a meeting with a studio. It's like, okay, Smurfs. All right, here's the thing. We hire a porn director. Thanks. The Avatar universe? Absolutely. I've got a sequel for you. So a porn director comes to the planet.
That one is tailor-made for porn.
I mean, that one is. Like, I hope you do get into that room someday because that one works. In general, though, I feel like you're missing the mark.
Listen, I have a spreadsheet with exactly one idea on it, and I refuse to, vary it.
I have literally nothing to add to any of this. This is magical.
What else is new?
Magical. Yeah. Famously, I don't talk on this show.
This podcast, Ray is the sad tentacle worm of Knowing Is Half the Podcast.
I didn't even mention they have to change the name of their race. They're now known as the Shlamoofs.
That was
the weird. Goddamn, yeah. Shlamoofs.
That, yeah. Was why?
I mean, I guess if they were depressed being one thing that's hideous, they wouldn't want to be reminded that that's what they were. But it is going to be weird. Like, anyone who knew them, like their neighbors are going to be like, oh, tentacle worms. And then people are going to be like, hey, they don't exist anymore, man. They're now like puffy clowns. And their neighbors are going to be like, what?
I was clinically depressed for at least 20 years of my adult life. And you know what? My name still says the same goddamn thing on my driver's license. I didn't, you know what? I'm a Bork Fockwad now. Now that I'm taking freaking antidepressants, let's do this.
I mean, maybe you should be Bork Fockwad.
Maybe I should.
Yeah,
maybe
I'll be honest. If we get 20 people on the Patreon to say, change your name legally to Bork Fockwad.
Uh-huh. We couldn't We couldn't even get Chan to dress up for Halloween as a thing he promised our Patreon subscribers he would dress up as. You think you're going to shave his head?
He'll shave his head for himself, but not for a bit. Explain that one to me. Still mad.
I thought
I was over it. I'm not.
It's what's known as being a counter.
Is that the word I couldn't come up with earlier?
That is the word that you did come up with, and which I have hung on to and made sure that you remember that you came up with.
Then I've done my part. It's memorable. I'm 100% here for it. So look, all of a sudden, because this event has gone down, all of the stone people are just miraculously cured. I don't know how any of this works.
No, it's because they put the drugs into the water supply and sterilize the whole population, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
How does that take people who have already turned to stone and turn them back to normal?
Because they're not sad anymore. Including
the little leprechaun
that
was in the kid's pocket, who couldn't have even seen the water.
No, they're not sad anymore. They don't see the unfathomable sadness.
Well, I think what happens is because they're now happy, the tears were transmuted into like happy juice or whatever, and so they like took that back and like sprinkled people with it or had them. I don't look into it. Something. We skipped over the minutia of it and just got to the, hey, you won part at the end.
Yes, we ran out of time, I think, is the appropriate way to look at this.
Is that what happened? Or did they just not have any story to fill time with to begin with?
Definitely didn't. Maybe this is not, there is a version of the werewolf mythology is if you kill the werewolf who infected you, that you are no longer a werewolf anymore. They did that in The Quarry, this great storytelling video game that I liked a lot. And if you have, they try to go and find like the alpha werewolf and kill it, so all the werewolves are cured. And if we're going on that theory, no, I'm just remembering this now. If we're going on that theory, I could somehow get behind this because we have exterminated an entire people.
What if there was like one tentacle worm that was like out or like in the bathroom and he didn't get the happy juice and he comes back to this river and he's like, I'm getting ready to cry with all my ugly friends. And then he's like, hey guys, where'd you go?
And then they're just fucking clowns. They're the hobo clowns.
Yeah. And he's the only one that's still ugly.
Yeah. There's only one answer for that, Gina. Mass murder.
Mm-hmm.
You find the nearest thing and kill it.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, there's another version of this story where, much like the orcs and the Uruk-hai, they're just convinced you're ugly, you're unhappy, the answer is to hurt others. So they become a warlike race of creatures and turn their self-pity into hatred of all life on Earth.
These tentacle worms are nice, though. They like try and warn people. They're like, look away, look away. We're so sad.
They don't have a proper leader motivating them. That's what they need.
Someone like you.
I'm right here to take my earthen brethren of the tentacle folk and turn them into a fighting force and taking over all of Phantasia.
Yeah. Yeah. I figured if one of us became a fascist dictator, it would be Gina, but like Ray would be a close second.
I mean, I would be a successful fascist dictator.
Yeah, she'd be good at it.
Ray would last about 30 minutes and then the people would topple him.
Yeah.
What a great 30 minutes it would be, though.
You can get some shit done.
Yeah, dude. I'm telling you. Anyway, somehow that's how we end the episode. That is it, everybody. That is the never-ending story. No gods, no masters. No, what was it called? The Tears of Sadness. And kind of a dud. Kind of a dud episode. Kind of made bad choices. And it's the pilot.
Doesn't get better from there.
I mean, maybe it does, but I won't be watching. Gina, you got any pub crawls that people could know about coming up?
I mean, if you've got strong opinions on where the best Oktoberfest in LA is, let me know.
Let's hear it. You can hit up Gina, but only hit up Gina on Twitter if you are a legitimate Russian bot. None of these real people. You go to Threads for that. Thank you very much. Where Gina can be found, I think.
Are people still on Zanga?
Is that like the mobile games?
No. Is the blogging site.
The blogging site. No, I do still have a MySpace, yeah. It turns out.
I think we all do, technically, but
I tried to go back there. It was not very usable.
Yeah.
I can't believe Gina's not yelling at us to end the show. We're done.
I checked out. I'm checked out. The second this ends, I'm pulling the cord.
She's busy closing down those pop-ups from all the begging sites she's got open.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.